Imagine an economy that leads companies to increase wages.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Delta Airlines, the U.S. airline offering personal on-demand entertainment at every seat on all long-haul international flights. Delta, keep climbing.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. There's news from Japan that big companies are increasing the pay of workers, something that's been quite rare in Japan for decades. Think Panasonic, think Toyota. Analysts see the boosts in pay as the result of so-called Abenomics, the stimulus and reform plan for the Japanese economy pushed by Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. It's not large amounts. Toyota, for example, is boosting pay by $315 a year, but it is the reversal of a downward trend where base wages have been falling since the 90s. Sajiro Takeshita is with the Japanese bank Mitsuo in London.
Salary increases basically tells the workers that the company feels that the things are on the right track in a longer-term basis. The Japanese companies are very reluctant, actually, to increase the base pay. They'd rather pay the employee through bonuses, for example. And over the years, you've seen the Japanese government throwing cash at people's face, but they've been saving rather than spending because they didn't get that assurance of sentiment. Now, base salary rise is definitely exactly that. So it's very, very positive, I think.
Takeshita said today the hope is for wider growth in the Japanese economy.
Partly because the government had been pushing for the companies to induce a further increases in wages, which would basically get the cycle of economy moving. And they, I think what we all like to see is really ride on the momentum of this revival trend that is happening. That's another very big reason that this is going on right now.
Sajiro Takeshita of Mitsuo Bank speaking from London today. Now, there's disappointing data from Europe this morning. Industrial output for countries that use the euro was supposed to go up in January. Instead, it fell 0.2%. Let's do some more numbers. The often volatile Nikkei 225 index in Japan fell 2.6% today. The FT 100 in London is down 0.9%. The DAX in Germany is down 1.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down. Climatologists in the U.S. and around the world are tracking data that could mean the El Niño weather pattern could strike the Pacific Rim and beyond. This pattern of rising ocean temperatures can mean weird weather, maybe extra rain in California, possibly drought in India. Global food prices hang in the balance, as Marketplace's Dan Weissman reports.
First, let's get Scott Shelody's take. He's a commodities trader on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange and a farmer growing corn and beans. How are farmers getting ready?
Wait and see. As much as El Nino has talked about, if they put it in their business plan, they'd probably be less profitable.
At this point, El Nino is still a maybe. There's other stuff to factor in right now, like the price of seed, fuel, and fertilizer. El Nino effects are different everywhere. More rain in California, less in India. So the effects on crops vary a lot. Commodities markets smooth out some of the bumps, but not for everyone. Purdue University economist Nelson Vioria says in some places, like parts of Africa, El Nino can mean prices double for staples like rice and corn. That's because not all countries get their food on big global markets.
Bangladesh gets rice from India. So Bangladesh really cares about what's happening in India.
In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman from Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix with GoToMeeting, connecting people and businesses worldwide in face-to-face online meetings. More at GoToMeeting.com. By CSX, delivering 2.6 million containers of goods, providing essentials to move the economy forward. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Burst, cloud business analytics engineered to turn data into knowledge. Burst lets companies think fast. Learn more at BIRST.com. Burst, think fast.
And now the time regular contributor Alan Sloan said something nice about the federal government. That time is now, and it's about a new savings plan for Americans called MyRA and the bond it's based upon. Mr. Sloan is the senior editor-at-large at Fortune magazine. Morning, Alan.
Good morning, David.
So tell me about this new savings system. The president was talking about it, but there's an interesting feature about it.
This savings feature, this retirement account, is made possible by a new savings bond that the Treasury created.
And typical person, I didn't know there was a new bond that the Treasury created, but when you started looking into it, it has an interesting feature.
It does indeed. Instead of being a savings bond with a regular interest rate, it turns out to have a rate that's adjusted every month and is tied to a fund that federal employees get called the G as in government fund. And it's a money market fund with an exceptionally good rate.
So these days you'd get a little more than 2% if you have money into the system?
Well, with the G fund, at least this month, you get 2.25%. If you owned your classic Treasury money market fund, you'd get maybe 0.02%.
So you're not going to make a giant killing. But the thing is, if it's a Treasury bond, it's not going to evaporate.
And the creation of this bond is what allowed the president to announce, here are these retirement funds that for small savers that are coming out this year. And this way, it's a done deal. The Treasury has created the security. I just like it. It's so simple. It's just not what you expect from the government, at least not what I expect from the government.
No, they're branding the whole shebang here, MIRA, my IRA. Is that the deal?
Yeah, they call it small M, small Y, capital R, capital A, my retirement account, and it rhymes with IRA as an individual retirement account. It's too cutesy for me, but what do I know?
Now, before you go, who invented this amazing little innovation over at Treasury, this Thomas Edison of savings bonds?
I don't know, because I asked the Treasury 16 times and they wouldn't tell me.
All right. If you're listening, the inventor, Mr. Sloan over here is saluting your innovation. Alan Sloan, senior editor-at-large, Fortune Magazine. Thank you.
My pleasure.
And kids in the back seat, I am talking to you in social studies. They tell you the president of the United States has a bully pulpit, the ability to influence the agenda by his very presence. An example of the bully pulpit in action: yesterday, the president of the United States walked into a Gap store a couple blocks from our New York bureau here and spent $154.85 on sweaters for his daughters and a workout jacket for the first lady. Like flicking a switch, this caused news media across the country to do stories about raising the minimum wage. The president wanted to highlight the Gap's decision to voluntarily raise its minimum wage to $10 an hour. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
It's legal, it's socially acceptable. Most adults use it, and kids too.
Well, you know, I've got a bag of it here with me. It's a white powder. It's a fine white powder.
I know, right? But not what you're thinking. I'm Kai Rizdal. Caffeine. Next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.